Our next public hearing, number four, subdivision 2007-26, was withdrawn. That leaves us with our next public hearing as subdivision 2007-27, Justice Farms LLC. Which I get the feeling all the rest of you are here to see. Okay, well, you've been very patient. We appreciate it. These guys are going to take a minute to get set up. And while they're doing that, our director will read the subdivision into the record.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 381.23 acres into 571 lots, located east of Road 463.
Ladies and gentlemen, our hearing is underway. The director is reading it into the record. We need you to be quiet. Thank you. Go ahead.
Start over. This is application number 2007-27. The application of Justice Farms LLC to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 381.23 acres into 571 lots, located east of Road 463, 1,400 feet north of Route 24, and 2,100 feet east of Road 463. Now, this application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has received any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, as Lawrence stated, the TAC committee reviewed this application November 21st of 2007. That report will be made a part of the record. On February 19th of 2008, the applicant submitted a revised preliminary plan. Each of you has received a copy of that. The file also contains a TAC response letter that we received February 19th of 08. I believe that's part of the exhibit booklet. We also have received the state's response to the applicant's response to the plus comments. That's part of the record. On December 8th of this year, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that. The copy in the file is part of the record. And I just passed down copies of proposed findings of facts and conditions of approval that were submitted by Mr. Pardee. The file also contains a wetlands report that was submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers. And I've passed down two letters in opposition. One was received from Jeffrey M. Jeffries and Ronald Merritt, and the other from Clarence and Darlene Whaley, and they'll be both made a part of the record. That's all I have at this time, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. And the chair recognizes the gentleman from Dover. By the way, did you bring your passport?
I did, and I need to have it stamped when I leave, if you don't mind.
Okay, we'll see you, Mr. Robertson, when we're done.
Thank you, sir.
Validated for parking?
Yes, and validated for parking, too.
I'm perfectly prepared and happy to pay the parking fee. Good evening, Mr. Chair and commissioners and staff. Happy holidays, and thank you for the opportunity to present to you what I would respectfully submit is a very special and unique project that is deserving of your consideration, called Chickberry Fields. For the record, my name is John Pardee. I'm an attorney with the law firm Prickett, Jones & Elliott in Dover, and our firm represents the applicant, Justice Farms. With me tonight are Frank Key, who is our planner and designer, Zach Crouch from Davis Bowen & Friedel is our engineer, and Mr. Ed Justice, the principal, you will hear from as well. Each of those gentlemen will speak in turn. My remarks on an introductory basis will be mercifully brief. I'm sure you'll be happy to hear. And I will try to sum them up in about 60 seconds. First, the project before you clearly comports with the Sussex County Land Use Plan. Second, we submit respectfully that it meets the purposes of the subdivision code and that it promotes the orderly growth of the county and ensures that residential developments are conveniently and properly located. Third, the property I would note is zoned AR1, and the proposed density of 1.4 or 1.49 units per acre and the proposed number of lots, 566, are well below the maximum density of 2 units per acre and 762, which would be permitted as a matter of right on the property. The project, as you'll hear from Mr. Crouch, complies with each of the criteria set forth in Section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance. Each of those items have been favorably addressed. You'll find at tab 10 of our notebook an explanation in detail. Mr. Crouch will not bore you or waste your time with a detailed recitation of all of those, but for the record, I wanted to point out at tab 10 is a summary of the addressing of 99-9C. The proposed subdivision is, in fact, a superior design as compared to what you would typically expect to see in a standard subdivision, and Mr. Crouch and Mr. Key will both explain why that is the case. Lastly, I would point out that the proposed conditions and findings we have submitted are, in fact, in the record. I have an extra copy that I'd like to submit just so we're clear, and I'll present those to Mr. Abbott. Unless there are any questions, that's all I'll have for at the moment. We'll move on, and you'll hear from Mr. Key. Thank you.
Before Mr. Key begins, I want to remind those of you that are here with an interest in this project, please feel free to get up and take a look at the exhibits. Just ask you to be quiet about it, if you would. If you can't, you know, they're kind of hard to see from way in the back. There are boards here. There are identical boards over here, but please feel free to get up and move around if you need to see what's going on. All right, sir. Mr. Key.
Thank you. Again, my name is Frank Key. I'm with Frank M. Key Communities. I was the project planner on this. And, as you guys know, all of the materials that are the things that I'll talk about are in the book that we submitted. Yeah. The project is located between Route 24 and Hitch Pond Road with frontage on both roads. The setback from Route 24 is approximately 500 feet, and from Hitch Pond Road is about 100 feet. The concept for the neighborhood is a hamlet or a village that's sort of farm-like in character that will grow over time. Ed and Robin Justice approached me to help them with the planning, and it was important to them that the community fit within the rural landscape, particularly since, you know, their home is on the adjacent property back to the south. The architecture for the community will be designed to resemble local homes and farm-like facilities. In particular, the rec facility, which is intended to be a barn-like structure in character with even potentially another storage building that might resemble a silo. Chickberry is really kind of an unknown place. I think you've all been to Chickberry. You know the character of it, and that's what they intend to, I wouldn't say replicate, but resemble. In terms of the existing site, the current use of the site is a truly functioning agricultural site in all ways. The open lands are farmed. The wooded lands were harvested for timber in 2004. Thus, while the forested areas are valuable, they're not old-growth forests at this point. There is an area that's a little older than the rest, and I will show you how that area has been retained and why. Essentially, there are two streams that you'll note on the plans, and those are to the left and right on the picture of the wooded area. That wooded area that's preserved there also backs up to another forest block that's off-site. So the intention was to keep the area of wooded lands that brackets that entire forest block. Now, we are disturbing some forest, but it's a relatively minor amount considering the total that's been kept. We've kept the streams intact. There's, I believe, 2 stream crossings on the site, and those are channelized ditches that I'm referring to. We have kept 100-foot buffers off the stream channels simply because it worked well with the community. There's no requirement for it, but it seemed the thing to do, and it seems to be relatively in conformance with the intention of DNREC and the pollution control strategy. With that in mind, with those buffers, with the preservation of forested area, the stormwater management facilities, we have easily met the reduction of nitrogen and phosphorus that's required by the Broad Creek TMDL established in 1998. There's a 30% reduction in nitrogen and 50% in phosphorus requirement, and a 9% reduction in bacteria, and we've easily met those requirements. There is an area on the site that's a small circle within the forest that's intended to be small campsites for like Boy Scouts and that. And Ed will tell you more about that because that's really a thing that's close to the Justice family. There's also a what looks like a Big Dipper on the site that's in the trees. That area is a set-aside for potential water-related facilities. We're talking about booster pumps or something like that. We're not sure whether it's going to be needed or not, but it may be needed. As you know, this site is intended to be served by Tidewater Utilities from the Trussum Regional Plant that was approved recently, and that's a fair distance off and may require a little boosting. There is another factor as you sort of tour through the site. When you enter the site, you enter between these two light green areas on the exhibit there. Those are pastures that are intended to be kept as pastures and fenced, and then those things would be in the fencing and so forth included in the entry features. That is so that you're passing through farmland, in effect, to get back to the recreation facilities, which are the larger facilities where the entry road comes in. Those facilities will again be designed to resemble a farm-like setting. There's swimming pool, multi-use courts, tot lot or similar uses, and some recreation fields such as croquet and bocce ball, horseshoes, volleyball, and the like. The arrival at the rec facility and its placement in that location is so that from Route 24, you'll see it's a recognized center of the community. It kind of becomes the heart of the community or the arrival point. The smaller building that's at the end of one of the roads is, again, a silo-like building intended to be used for storage, but it also makes a focal point at the end of that drive so that it concludes with a physical structure. The areas that I'm referring to are these areas right in here. That particular site is about an 11.7-acre site for those uses. Chickberry is clearly divided into two sections by natural resources. That would be the channelized ditches and the buffers on either side. There are 194 homes on the east side and 372 homes on the west proposed. There are community parks. That would be the lighter green parks that you can see distributed throughout the site. Those are always active parks. They're always have homes fronting on them or sides onto those parks so that they're clearly public parks. And in fact, certain of those are located in places, and you can tell if you look at the site plan that they're at memory points. They're at places where when you're driving through the community, it's like you would tell someone, go to the park, take a left, drive to the end of the street to the other park, take a right to get to your home. It's a chain or a string of beads like through the community. Of course, in the large side of the community, the left side on the drawing there is a large park there because of the larger number of homes there, so the active park is bigger. In fact, it's 6.24 acres. And then there's the large preserved open space and the buffer areas that connect them all that lead from the woodland area and what we've called passive space along those stream channels. In some of those open spaces, they're not really passive. There are walking trails in the woods. There are walking trails in the buffers. In fact, there are several miles of those proposed for the community. The open space provided is just over 215 acres, or over 50% of the site. And a couple of other points about this. Those parks that are there are located where they are, not just to make memory points and useful places within the community, but they're also there for that reason, and to be within a quarter of a mile of any home in the community. Either the active parks or the open space are always within a 15-minute walk of any of this open space or park. Not all of them, but one or the other of them. In fact, the rec center is located the furthest away from certain of them, but the rec center is from the furthest lot away, 1.5 miles away, which is about a 40-minute walk if you're walking. If you're on the bike, it's probably 20 minutes if it's a bike ride. Easily a 5-minute drive, by car. Chickberry, because of the manner in which it's designed, and one thing I want to back up and mention, there are perimeter buffers around the entire site. There's what I would call a 500-foot buffer on the front of the site, which is those pastures. There are 50-foot buffers elsewhere on the site. Along Hitch Pond Road, there's a 100-foot buffer that's intended to be a landscape buffer. And there are 50-foot buffers between the adjoining neighborhoods to the north and even a larger buffer sort of to the northeast, because there's the end of a ditch over there, and we were trying to set back from it a little bit further. In summary, Chickberry provides for a total environment and design which are superior to that which would be allowed under the standard lot option. It preserves the natural environment and historic or archaeological resources, those being the cemetery that's on site, which is preserved in place. It's been delineated according to DENREC standards, and there's a buffer around it of at least 50 feet. It won't have any adverse effect on the items included under Ordinance Number 1152 or County Code 99-9C. As demonstrated, 83% of the mature wooded area of the site has been preserved despite no requirement to do so. The neighborhood has proposed, about 160 acres of the open space as proposed are classified as passive when in actuality, because of the walking paths, they can be used as open space. That's the reference I made before to the trails. As indicated on the plan, all of the lots in the community have direct access to open space of all kinds. By that, I mean all lots front onto private streets with sidewalks on both sides of all roads, and sidewalks are connected to paths and trails within the proposed open spaces, whether parks within the street network or general preserved wooded and wetland areas. The result of the plan is a compact development as specifically allowed by the cluster ordinance. In addition, small neighborhoods and towns in Delaware have traditionally developed with small lots clustered together for efficiency, such as Rehoboth Beach, Dewey Beach, Milton, Millsboro, and others, where lots are as small as 5,000 square feet, all set within a rural setting surrounded by farmland and natural open space, just as Chickberry is proposed. In fact, Chickberry represents a prime example of the combination of techniques found in two very effective design philosophies, one being new urbanism and the other is open space developments in Delaware. New urbanism is, you know, one of its techniques espouses the quarter mile, you know, or 15-minute walking distance to amenities, which this accomplishes, and designing open space developments as written and published by the Sussex Conservation District enumerates five clear advantages of this kind of design. One is the plan review period is shortened, which is not the case in Sussex County and in Delaware yet. Hopefully this kind of development will engender that sort of response eventually, but not yet. A reduction in infrastructure, engineering, and construction costs. I'm not sure we've achieved a reduction in engineering costs yet, but certainly the community design is compact, and that will reduce the amount of infrastructure, pavement, impervious surface, and thus the cost. During the marketing and sales period, buyers look for a superior environment. The parks, open space, preservation, amenities area, the trail system, and even the small lots with low maintenance costs yield this benefit. This is a fact, and it's evidenced, for example, by the Village of Bear Trap Dunes, which you know that I was involved in. To date, the resales in that community have been one of the biggest competitors with any new development on the market, and it's because of the amenities and the manner in which it's designed. Homes and open space developments tend to appreciate faster than their counterparts in standard subdivisions. In today's world, you know, appreciation, there just isn't any, and we know that. But they do hold their value better, again, as evidenced by Bear Trap and other developments of that kind. And last, the parks, amenities, play fields, preserved, usable open space help to reduce the demand for public open space, parkland, playing fields, and other areas for active and passive recreation. The result of the plan is a compact development as specifically allowed by the cluster ordinance. And that pretty much concludes my portion of it. I will turn this over to Ed Justice unless you have questions for me.
Right ahead.
I'm going to jump in front of Ed.
Who are you?
Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Friedel, the engineer for the project.
For the record, thank you.
And I am a professional engineer in the registered in the state of Delaware. As mentioned before, I mean, the project itself that's in front of you tonight is 566 single-family homes. what we have designed per the cluster ordinance, or you know, the requirements for the cluster ordinance is a minimum of 7,500 square feet, and our average is around 9,600 to 2,200 square feet. The roads themselves will be built to Sussex County standards.
9,600 to 22,000, did you mean?
To 2,200.
You said 9,600 to 2,200.
22,000.
That sounds better.
That's what I thought you meant, but that's what I just want to get it on the record.
I missed a zero.
It'd be an awful small lot.
roads will be built to Sussex County standards, which would be curb and gutter and sidewalks on both sides of the street, as clarified. And there was a traffic impact study done, which is in tab 3. The traffic impact study has been approved by DLDOT. There will be improvements on Hitch Pond Road. There will also be a signal agreement for 13 and 24, and there are also an agreement with DLDOT for a signal agreement for 13 and 24, and also the developer will have to go into an agreement with DLDOT for some improvements out on 13 and 24, which is actually part of a DLDOT project as we speak. There will also be improvements out on 24 as well from the intersection across the frontage of the property itself. So with that being said, I mean, the improvements based on which are specified in the traffic impact study will be at the cost of the developer for this subdivision. Sewer and water. The sewer and water will be provided by Tidewater, which was part of a conditional use 1807, which is a Trussum wastewater and water facility, which is off-site. This facility itself is around 2 miles away. You know, the subdivision itself will be gravity fed with sewer, and then it'll go to a pump station. Of course, the pump station will basically take it to the facility, which is, of course, not part of the site, as well as the water. Stormwater management, add one thing about the water, fire protection will be provided by the Laurel Volunteer Fire Company. Stormwater management, there's 8 stormwater management ponds proposed for this property. Right now, based on some of the soils work that was performed out there, we will be able to use some type of infiltration and also wet ponds through the subdivision itself. You know, a key component of some of the stormwater management ponds are, of course, an amenity to the layout and the way the flow of the subdivision was presented. So, of course, if the ponds need to be lined in some sort of fashion to keep that same design feature, there'll be accordance to the conservation district and also Den and Rec regulations. Environmental, there was an archaeological survey done. It's actually in your booklets as Exhibit 4. There is a cemetery that's located in this area here. Mr. Ed Otter actually went out there and did a full study, and actually the deed that was on file, it actually was a little bit more than what the deed expressed in the court. So that was recorded, record of deed. So what Mr. Otter did was he did a formal report. The report was submitted, and the cemetery was delineated per state regulations. As Mr. Abbott expressed, there was a wetlands delineation done, and it's in Exhibit 5 and 6. And part of Den and Rec's requirements as far as, which is actually referenced in Exhibit 7 with the tax ditch setbacks, there is a requirement for an 80-foot setback from all tax ditches. We're providing a 100-foot buffer from the tax ditches here, and there's another one here. So we're per Den and Rec requirements, we're exceeding that. The buffers are provided. The property is not within the 100-year floodplain, and I think it's in Exhibit 8 of your exhibit. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but the plus comments, there are the plus comments, which are in Exhibit 8. And one comment I wanted to make about the plus comments, Den and Rec stated that you know, there's 100 acres of woodlands that are going to be removed, and of course, by what Mr. Key expressed to you, some of that woodlands was timbered, so we're actually preserving around 83%. TAC comments, all TAC comments have been addressed and are reflected on the latest plan that's in front of you today, and the 99-C comments have been addressed and are included in the booklet. And I'd just like to go over just two of those, which I think that have not been covered, and not actually read every single one of them. But the integration of proposed subdivision within existing terrain and surrounding landscape, just like Mr. Key expressed, I mean, we did provide a 50-foot buffer around the perimeter of the subdivision that abuts surrounding properties. There's a 100-foot buffer off of Hitch Pond Road. There's a 500-foot buffer off of Route 24. There's over a 100-foot buffer from the lots that front on 24. So, and which will be landscaped too. I mean, as you can tell from the plan, there will be a landscape plan as part of this, and which shows that, you know, the buffers will be vegetated. Preservation of open space and scenic views, which is number four per the Chapter 99-9C. A total of 207 or 201 acres of open space will be provided for this project, which is around 52%. And the areas that, you know, we really concentrated on were the areas that were affected either by wet areas or forested areas or the tax ditches themselves. So, and throughout the whole project, and as Mr. Key explained, I mean, there's parks throughout the whole project that are interconnected one way or the other, either through sidewalks or walking trails. And Exhibit 11 are just some of the utility companies that we have contacted that they can provide services to this area. So with that being said, if there's any questions for me, I will turn it over to Mr. Justice.
My name is Ed Justice. I reside at 32099 Justice Farm Road. And Chickberry Fields is the result of many years of Chickberry Farms. And just this past Sunday after church, I had a young lady come up to me and introduced herself. And she was 16 years old, and she informed me that she had been at Chickberry when she was in kindergarten. So it made me feel a little bit older. But we have had an opportunity at Chickberry to visit with thousands of children and thousands of people from all over the Delmarva Peninsula. A lot of the tools that we're going to use at Chickberry Farm are the cluster that has been explained by the land planner and Frank Key and our engineer, Zach Crouch. Other tools include the open space, and we more than exceed the amount of open space that's required. At Chickberry, we believe that farm lifestyle is important, and we feel like the farm family lifestyle can be incorporated with the community. Myself and my family are going to live in this community, and we're going to be a part of the community of Chickberry. We're very excited about it. The camping area that was mentioned in the center of the open space area, this is not going to be a formal camping area for motorhomes or campers or anything like that. It'd be more in the line with the Boy Scout camp that already exists at Trap Pond State Park. So it would have a very light footprint. It would just give an opportunity for Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, 4-H clubs, church youth groups to have a place where they could go and participate in the Chickberry community. Some of the other activities that will be located just outside the Chickberry fields will be equine activities. And these are things that we do at Chickberry and we are expanding to do in the future. Other activities include environmental activities that we do in the area now, and we'd like to expand those activities. We also at Chickberry interact with the state park system that's in our area. And there's over 3,300 acres of state park in the area there at around the Chickberry area there. Now currently at Chickberry, we do birthday parties, we do graduations, anniversary parties, company parties, and many other educational activities. Just today, we had the Salisbury Christian School came out and did the Christmas activity that my wife Robin offers on our farm at this time of year. So we have opportunities to educate the public about agriculture and about the communities here on Delmarva. We really appreciate that. The things that we can offer at the Chickberry site are going to be walking trails, biking, and swimming there at the community center. Throughout the community, we're going to offer barns and gazebos, and as Frank Key mentioned, the entrance incorporates a passive area where farming will occur in the front, and as you drive into the community, you're going to have an opportunity to interact with the agriculture that's there in the area. In our area, we are on the Delaware Electric Co-op, so our electric rates are reasonable. And we have a Verizon cell tower in the area, so we have good service for cell phones. And our family has offered a site, not at Chickberry Fields, but one of our adjacent farms to the Laurel Firehouse. If they chose our site, it would be a combination between the Laurel Fire Company and Gumber. We're on the edge of both districts there. And they have a goal to do a common area somewhere in that area. So we made that offer to the fire company. The other opportunities we would have in the area are garden plots that community members could use, and we've seen that in other communities and other parts of the country. Some other amenities that we're going to include in Chickberry, my wife and I had an opportunity to travel to a community in North Carolina, and they had a John Deere signature community. We already have Chickberry and the theme that we use there. The John Deere signature community would be teaming up with a well-known company and the road signs and other activities in the community would all be John Deere. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with that because I grew up a red man, but we're considering teaming up with the John Deere signature community because they have some good tools that would work with our concept. Some other activities that we would incorporate would be in the front as you approach the development. We'd like to install a couple windmills for decorative purposes and maybe pumping water if we use pasture lands in the front of the Chickberry fields. And we are excited about teaming up with a local church, and the church is going to be next to the Chickberry fields. We're not asking for a church site in this tonight, but we're excited about working and interacting with the local church, and the members of the church could interact with the community and interact with the church and go back and forth between the two. And we feel like that would be a good opportunity at Chickberry. Another opportunity we have, my daughter is currently enrolled in getting her degree for early childhood development. So we'll probably be back in the near future and ask for a conditional use for a preschool at our farm. We've had an opportunity to educate many kids about agriculture and the community, and our daughter feels led to teach at the preschool. Another opportunity we would like to incorporate and we'd be back in the future is to talk about an ag education center. And we would incorporate, teach people about agriculture and how you can interact. Our society, we're 3 and 4 generations away from the farm now, and we just don't have an opportunity to travel back to and visit with the farm and learn about agriculture. So those are the things that excite us about the Chickberry fields. You know, we didn't just pop up here. Our family's been here for generations. My wife and I have put many years into Chickberry and education activities, and we feel like we can enhance the community by adding this feature to what we do at Chickberry. So I'd like to thank you. Thank you.
Gentlemen, if I may wrap up our presentation by just addressing very quickly a couple of the issues or concerns I believe you might hear expressed in opposition. I'll move through these fairly quickly. First, the suggestion that this project might have some adverse impact on property values in the area, I would respectfully submit is unfounded. This is a project where people are really going to want to be. It's a beautifully well-designed community, and that can only increase property values, I would submit to you. Second, with regard to traffic impacts, the road improvements required by the traffic impact study will more than adequately address all of the traffic impacts. So you have a TIS that's been approved by DLDOT, and I would respectfully submit that they are the professional engineers with regard to traffic, and they have opined that this project with the road improvements required by the TIS will more than adequately address any traffic concerns. A third, with regard to the density, I would again point out that this project is well below the permitted density. Fourth, with regard to stormwater runoff concerns, as you know, the stormwater management plan has to be approved by Sussex Conservation District using best management practices, which this project certainly will do. Fifth, with regard to environmental impacts, I would point out that this project is very sensitively designed to respect the natural resources already existing in the area. Only 14 acres of the woodlands will be disturbed at all. Over 83% of the mature woodlands will be preserved. There is no intrusion into any wetlands whatsoever. And indeed, there are substantial buffers and open space in excess of code requirements from roads, from neighboring properties, and from all of the natural resources. This project is one of the most well-integrated projects you will see in terms of integrating the design into the existing terrain, respecting and preserving the resources on site. And for all those reasons, we would respectfully request your favorable consideration. If there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer them at this time.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions. And we will start with Mr. Gordy.
Thank you. Mr. Krebs, can you describe for us the improvements that you're going to be required to do along Hitch Pond Road and 24 by DLDOT? I know it's in the book, but I know it's in the book for us to read, but I'm sure people out here would like to know.
Okay, sure. I'll just go over them briefly. Well, not briefly, but at least touch on the high points. But as outlined in tab 3 of the booklet, the developer will enter into an agreement with DLDOT, which is for Route 13 and Route 24 improvements, intersection improvements, in which DLDOT already has a project that they're considering, and the developer would have to enter into an agreement to share cost into that, and which would be a requirement before final approval, and which will include planned improvements to this intersection will include addition to the eastbound and westbound turn lanes, modification of existing lanes configurations to create an exclusive left turn lane, a through lane, an exclusive right turn lane to both on both Delaware Route 24 approaches. Developer or engineer will coordinate with DLDOT for these and for the schedule. There would be a traffic signal agreement for the intersection of 13 and 24, which there again will be part of the requirements for final approval, which will also include pedestrian signals for crosswalks and interconnections. Hitch Pond Road, we will have to improve from 3,600 feet up Hitch Pond Road, plus or minus. But also included in that is to improve the curves on Hitch Pond Road, because I think we can all see just by the aerial that those curves are about pretty much a 90 degree. They don't meet ASHTO requirements, so there would be some land required, which the state owns that land, but that's something that we're going to have to work with DLDOT just because it's one of the requirements. So we would straighten that out to meet Del Dots as well as Ash 2 requirements. And also that road would be improved from 24 approximately 3,600 feet north. On 24, the improvements will consist of a ditch pond and basically in front of the whole property to the edge of the property line.
Can we turn it so we can see it?
Ma'am, we'll take care of it over here. You're welcome to get up and take a look if you like.
Improvements will go from basically from the intersection here to the end of the property, which will consist of two 12-foot lanes and two 8-foot shoulders, and which is there right now. We would have to improve them and basically do an overlay. I'm not sure if there's 8-foot shoulders. I know there's 12-foot lanes. We might have to extend the shoulders from 5 feet to 8 feet, but there again, that would be an expense by the developer. The site entrances will have to be approved per DLDOT standards, which and, the one on Hitch Pond Road will install a right turn lane. So there'll be a right turn lane installed in this entrance on Hitch Pond Road, which again would be incorporated into the improvements that we have to do on that road for 3,600 feet. And the site entrance on 24, install an eastbound left turn lane and westbound right turn lane. So there again, as part of those improvements on 24, we do a protected left into the site as well as a diesel lane into the site. There's some bicycle and pedestrian improvements that we'll have to do, but there again, that's that'll be included in those improvements on Hitch Pond as well as 24.
Okay, thank you. Moving on. The cemetery. What are your plans for the cemetery, and who will maintain the cemetery?
You want to answer that? Yeah. You want to answer that? As far as who's taking care of it, I'll let Mr. Justice address that. But as far as that's how come we did the study, because when we went through the PLUS process, they of course brought up, are you sure the limits of any burials is the exact area within the deed, and we pulled the deed, and that's how come we had Mr. Otter go out there and actually do a pretty formal report, which is included in your booklet, which shows that actually there was some remains outside. So the deed has been revised based on that, and I'll let Mr. Justice talk about the.
Well, it's fairly simple. I had an opportunity to be out there with Mr. Otter and view the site as he evaluated it, and there is currently a fund available. And the fund will be there in the future for maintenance of the graveyard.
So are you planning to fence the area in, or?
Yes, it'll be fenced with a buffer, too.
Okay, and you do have access to it, I see, with the?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's actually at the end of the cul-de-sac, and that was one of the revisions when we resubmitted the plans, was we lost, some lots, I think four, five, six lots, because we wanted to provide a 50-foot buffer.
Brads, would you show us again on the map where you're talking about?
Cemetery looking.
Okay, I'm jumping around a little bit here. PLUS reports, Denrek thought you maybe underestimated the impervious surface area, 23%. Can you address that?
Well, the impervious area is based on the total area for, you got 7,500 square feet, and it's 30% per each lot. And when you take, you got 200 acres that is open space that we're preserving. So when you take the 566 lots times, the 30% of each individual lot, and then you put it into the gross acreage, it's 23%. So, that's roads, and, you know, if it's off a percentage here or there. But, you know, we did, and I kind of explained to them that, you know, we took the whole gross area, which, you know, part of the project, I mean, you take areas for everything anyway, so it only makes sense.
The buffer along the Hitch Pond Road, along where this, I guess, the strip lotting is, existing strip lotting, is that existing, or will that have to be planted?
No, all the...
No, above the curve there, all that there. Is that
existing? Yeah, there's an existing hedgerow there, but, you know, we would be, you know, for some reason, if it's not dense enough, we'd be more than happy to put additional trees there, just because of there's probably some folks here that do not want to look into the back of other folks, people's houses, and we are providing a 50-foot buffer, so that makes sense. Yes.
Okay. So you'd like to say you'll be willing to put landscaping there too?
Yes. We can extend just like we're showing here, basically around the whole perimeter. I mean, we just extend this all the way up, but trying to keep as much of the existing conditions as is.
And apparently at the entrance, you'll have enough room for a bus stop if school district.
Yeah, we have more, in this area here. And that's another thing, you know, when we go through the process, I mean, you know, that's going to be part of the requirements for DLDOT to meet with the school district and see the location of bus stops. But, you know, we got a 100-foot buffer here, so there's adequate room in this area, and there's also adequate room in this area. But clubhouses or any types of facilities are within a close range of the entrance, which off of 24 it is, they could use that as their bus stop. So there's a number of ways, but until we meet with those folks, but that's part of the process. Okay.
And you state there's sidewalks on both sides?
Yes, sir.
Street lights?
Yes.
The parks that you have all through the area, will any of them have tot lots for children, or what's your proposal on that?
Yes. I mean, we've... In the open area, the 6-acre area, the big area, which is on the northwest side of the plan, tot lots should have been shown on there. And Mr. Justice did mention it in his presentation, but I apologize for that.
But you'll
I hope you give him a credit.
Yes.
You'll have more than one, apparently. I mean,
yes,
you'll have two
in that area.
Okay. So any of the wooded areas now, are they in within any of the lots now? I mean, will you be cutting trees down?
Yeah, there would be lots? Some, you know, the timber. Yeah, here's an existing, if you look at this real closely, I mean, it's not, there is a tree line on here.
Okay.
Which this has been, you know, there's timber, it's been timbered. I mean, it's not mature trees.
Okay.
But that'll be part of the subdivision. But what we try to do is preserve the more mature, the whole 300 acres has been timbered at one particular time.
But you're saving the majority of the mature trees.
Yes, that's correct. That's
good. Wetlands, not much been talked about wetlands. Can you show those to me, and what kind of buffering are you having? And
yeah, the wetlands are in, you know, this area here, and that was the whole purpose of kind of preserving this area is, you know, one is the trees, but two, there's some wet areas, especially along the tax ditches that, you know, we're staying away from. I mean, we're not even developing in this area at all. We do have one crossing, which is at the tax ditch. And actually, that crossing is mentioned in one of the reports that I think went to Deneric and or went to the Army Corps of Engineers, but it's in your booklet. But we will need I think there's two. Yeah, there's two. There's one in this location here location here.
And what type of buffering are you having? Distance or from wetlands?
It ranges between 25 to over 300. I mean, there's an area here where we're within 25. All these are within over 100. There's an area here which is around 50. But that's the only two areas that we're even close to wetlands. Everything else we're staying away from. And that's only a small portion of the wetlands, as you could tell. I mean, there's, you know, linear feet. I mean, you're talking about 100 feet compared to lengthwise.
You stated that the septic is coming off site and also the water?
Yes.
Where would the water be coming from?
The same location
oh,
as
it's
the,
be there
yes.
Too. Okay, that's right.
As part of that conditional use, there was an elevated storage tank for it.
And Mr. Justice, question for you. The area in the front, are you talking about pasture land or gardens? Or because I read somewhere that you were talking about having garden plots and stuff.
Yeah, and that's an exciting opportunity. You know, I'm a third-generation poultry farmer. My son's 22. He's a fourth generation. What we'd like to offer are garden plots, and the modern way to do those in other parts of the country aren't by fencing or defining the areas that way. This younger generation, they tell me they can do it with GPS. And your garden plot will be defined by a satellite. So there's opportunities where us as farmers would come in and till the area, and then each individual would have an opportunity to have their own garden site in that area.
Is it something like a co-op, or would it be just...
Well, they'd have that opportunity to have a garden area if they'd like to, and again, it would educate them about growing your own vegetables and crops on agricultural land.
All the questions I have right now, Mr. Wheatley.
Our answer, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Gordy. And having had the benefit of this book for several weeks, it's been helpful on this application. I do have a few questions, if I might. And one for Mr. Justice, just sort of an informational for myself and perhaps for the public. You mentioned that this was something that you had worked on in a concept for quite some time. I was curious, because we're almost into 2009 and your application is dated 2007. Just give the commission and the public an idea of when you really got serious about this and when the application was tendered with the county.
That's an excellent question, and I've been educating myself about this process for over 4 years now. And by educating myself, I mean that I have teamed up with a good land planner, good engineers, and other people that know how to do these things. I've had an opportunity to sit with different engineers and land planners and find that they're much more educated about these opportunities than I am as a farmer. But I've learned from that process, and it is a long, drawn-out process. You know, at Chickberry, we always have people that come to the Chickberry, and they love what we do there. They like to live there and participate in the activities. So that's where the opportunities come from.
Mr. Lank and Mr. Abbott, the application was when in 07? I'm curious.
I think probably May or June.
June 29th.
Yeah.
So about 18 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Justice, I heard you, you said something about possibly coming back with some other ideas. Conditional use could be preschool, daycare, ag info building, things like that. Would they be on this site or other lands that you own?
Well, that's another good question. I've been able to educate myself about that. They will not be in the Chickberry fields, but we will still have 600 acres there. So we'll have those opportunities on land that the family still owns. And my daughter's a sophomore in college now, so she's wanting me to get busy and get started on that process. But we educate kids now. We'll just be doing it in a more formal setting.
Early on in the exhibit book, there's something that you mentioned about on-farm dining. Is that cold?
That's another good question.
Okay.
If my wife Robin has enough energy, we'll do on-farm dining. We're busy now, and we have a catering kitchen, so we hire in any food services that we use at Chickberry currently. And we operate under Delaware agritourism law, and we would be able to come before this group and ask for additional activities on the farm if we see fit in the future.
Thank you. Perhaps Mr. Crouch, any talk or recommendations as to stub streets, or did I possibly miss that earlier? Any stub streets to the other parcels, or was that recommended by DLDOT?
No. Basically, there's a tax ditch that runs along this area here. You know, we're preserving all this. And if there is a potential development over here, which is actually in the Justice family, there's something that could be, you know, associated here. But you know, at this time, they have no future, and everything else is, you know, developed around it or it's surrounded by roads.
Is there a pump station?
Yes.
And
it's in the middle.
People are going to live within earshot of that pump station.
The pump station will be clearly in the middle of the site, and because this is the lowest point, and of course, it makes sense to have the pump station at the lowest point of the site, just because it reduces the depth of the wet well. So it'll be within the middle of the site. It will not be within any proximity of any adjacent property owner. It will be within the site itself.
And if I were to guess that pump station would be, say, roughly 2 to 4 times the size of the podium that you have your hands on, would that be correct?
It'd be
with the generator and the control board?
It'd be an 8-inch diameter hole in the ground. I mean, the only thing you'll see on the surface would be a generator and some vents. But besides that, everything's completely underground, all the pumps.
And that is in the center of your site?
Yeah. That is correct.
One last question for Mr. Justice, and thank you.
Thank you.
You mentioned about it, in the future, education, I guess, for the residents and all. Well, seems to be one of the comments that I read a lot is about the nitrogens, I guess, of residential developments. Going off, is that something that you think could be incorporated in the John Deere community concept to say, here's what you should and shouldn't do in case not all the residents are astute about the...
Yeah, and that's a good question. As a farmer, I have a nutrient management plan, and as a development, this whole entire area will have to have their own nutrient management plan. So they will have to educate individual homeowners about when to apply nutrients to grow their grass and shrubbery, and they'll have to apply to the same rules that I do. In Delaware, farmers fall under the same umbrella that a golf course does, homeowners do, and that's the opportunity that we have. Actually, as you redevelop and put in infrastructure and drainage ponds, that actually does a better job of capturing nitrogen and phosphorus than open farm field does.
Thank you. And I guess one last question for Mr. Key, if I could, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Key, you had made reference to bear trap and cited some dollar amounts and figures. Do you have anything you could share with the commission on paper, any?
In terms of sales or something at Bear Trap?
Correct. I believe you said something about that they were in the vanguard as versus other comparable parties.
Yes, sir, I do. I don't have them here tonight, but I have Hanley Wood Reports, which is an industry reporting organization on that issue, and they report on number of building permits and number of sales and so forth, and I track those. So I'd be happy to provide them to you.
No, I think that substantiates my question. Thank you, Mr. Key.
Thank you.
That's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Justice, can we talk a little bit about your campsite area? How would you envision who's going to be responsible for that? Is that the homeowners association or?
Well, again, that's a good question, and that would be the homeowners association because those are the people that would have an opportunity to use that common area that we have there. Early on, our son is 22, and him and his friends, when they're growing up, love to camp back in the woods and enjoy that activity. So this will be inside of Chickberry Fields. There will be a homeowner association within the Chickberry, and they will be responsible for all the areas, including the camp area.
So that would be the responsibility of the homeowners association if they chose to let youth groups use it, or as well as the liability issues that come along with that?
Yes, and I'm very familiar with that. We do those activities on our farm, and there are opportunities to purchase liability insurance to cover those type of activities. If you feel led that that's very important for the children in the community, then you're willing to pay for insurance to cover that.
So would you envision that there would be water and sewer in that area, or?
Well, that's a good question also, and no, there will not be any water sewer in that area. We're not asking for a campground. Trap Pond State Park is a short drive. They have facilities for water and sewer hookups at the park. This would be like the Boy Scout camp that's on the south side of Trap Pond, where it's just an open wooded area. The Boy Scouts rough it. My daughter, she doesn't camp like that. She doesn't like to rough it. But that's what the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, they'd be out in the woods learning about nature.
Well, that's why I have a 37-foot motorhome myself.
Yeah.
I got a couple questions, I guess, for Mr. Croucher, if I could.
Well, I go to Motel 6. That's camping to me.
And hopefully these will be good questions, too. Your tax ditch, the buffers on those, are you talking about wooded buffers? You're talking about open?
Because
you talked about 100-foot buffers. And
the buffers on the tax ditches would just be 100-foot buffers. I mean, you know.
You're not talking about vegetated or?
I mean,
because the one rendition, it looks like there's trees and things, but then that raises concerns. How would you maintain?
Yeah, and that would be, I mean, you could, per the law, you can plant stuff in them, but if, you know, any maintenance needs to be done within at least 80 feet, you kind of want to, if they tear the trees down, it's not at the state's nickel, it's at the developer's nickel. But they're, again, trying to incorporate, so it's not just a meadow in here. I mean, and we're, all this is staying, within the woodlands, the existing woodlands, all that's staying the same. I mean, we're not clearing that or nothing. So just in the area that's actually in the field as of today, there's going to be some sporadic trees in the area. But there would be a recording.
But when you talk buffers, sometimes we think of, wooded buffers. So I didn't know if you were talking about just
a buffer,
footage or.
No infrastructure and no houses buffer.
Okay.
Except for two crossings. There again, there would be some trees in the area, but there again, I mean, that's just to break up so it's not just all grass, or you don't want a lot of vegetation in that area because, you get to the same reason in that you just explained is that, when they do clean out those tax ditches, I mean, they're going to tear everything down anyway, so.
Right. That's why I was one clarification, what you talked about when
the emphasis
referring to buffers, like you said, it could be the meadowland type or.
Right, and the main emphasis on the vegetated buffer is going to be around the perimeter of the site.
Right.
I think that addresses, the adjacent property owners and, some of the other concerns, from seeing it from the road and things of that nature.
And then as I look at your diagram there, there's a box there. Is that where you're planning to use it for the disposal of the treated
septic?
Or what's that box up there talks about?
The only thing this is for is that if we need additional, the Chesham wastewater and water facility that was approved as part of the conditional use had an elevated storage tank and had the wastewater facility there. This is where all the sewage from this project and all the water is coming from that facility, which is around 2 miles away. To meet fire department requirements for pressure, for fire protection, there might be additional pumps or a well in this vicinity. But, you know, no, you know.
That's not a disposal area.
No, it's not a disposal area.
Okay. All right, because it just made reference to a reserved easement for future utilities. I was just wanting clarification
that's,
on what.
That the Trust on Wastewater and Water Facility has not been designed yet, so we don't know exactly, you know, what the, you know, the elevated storage tank, is there going to be enough gravity to push that water to this site 2 miles away to provide fire protection? And if not, then there's ability there to put, you know, additional pumps and additional well to make sure that we have fire protection.
So you're not anticipating treated wastewater being
pumped
back to you?
No wastewater will be treated at this site. It'll be discharged 2 miles away.
It'll be discharged there also?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I've seen some developments where the water actually comes back to the site for disposal.
No, nothing okay. will be disposed of on the site.
And the cemetery, that's going to be cleaned up and maintained by the Homeowners Association?
Yes, there's the committee's, of course, it has its own separate deed. So there's, I guess, a committee, is it? Yeah, there's a committee that's going to maintain it. But, you know, it will be fenced as part of the development. It'll be fenced so that way, you know, no one goes out there and
Who's the committee?
I don't know how all that works.
Yeah, well, there's a fund at the local bank and the committee. Now, when we bought the farm, we took over the right-of-way entrance into that area, and then we worked with Mr. Otter to evaluate the area and make sure what's there, and then that committee would continue to maintain that gravesite there.
Okay. Because I know there's been some recent publicity about another development where there was a cemetery in there that's in disrepair, and there was some upset distant relatives who visited it, and it's basically was a mess.
But that was one of the reasons when it was brought up through PLUS process to, you know, you might want to take a look at to make sure that all the remains are within that deeded plot. And that's what we hired Mr. Otter to do, to actually do a, you know, pretty detailed survey of the area. And actually, there was remains outside that deed. So it's, you know, it's pretty detailed in the report in which, you know, we fixed that so that, you know, there's, and actually revised the site in this area to remove all the lots around it and also to provide the 50-foot buffer as well.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Burton.
Yes, sir. Back to your the Big Dipper area that Mr. Key, would that be a road? I mean, is there a, tell me, because it's kind of in the wetlands.
No, it's located, so it's not in the wetlands, because here's a wet area here, here's a wet area here, and here's a wet area here, so it's not even, you know, it's actually in upland, so if it is utilized, you know, it'll be within uplands, so there'll be no disturbance. And the envision there is that hopefully, you know, it's not needed. But if it is needed just to meet fire department requirements or if something else comes up, I mean, it's just, you know, the pump station, anything, any type of utilities can go there, or another well, for instance. You know, not knowing exactly what type of pressure is going to come from 2.5 miles away when the system's not designed yet, it's kind of hard to answer. So, I mean, the last thing I want to do is come back into here for final approval and say, okay, by the way, we had to add some pumps and we had to add an additional well, which was not part of a preliminary plan. And also, you know, the same thing with the pump station, you know. What's the pump station doing here? I mean, the pump station is going to be located right here. And, you know, 65, 64, I'll go on the record. I mean, it's going to be in the middle of the site.
Well, you are on the record.
How do you anticipate the phasing of this?
That's a good question. I'll go into it briefly, but Mr. Key put all the thought in this design. But, you know, I'm sure this is going to be pretty much the first phase just because of the clubhouse, the amenities. These lots here were established for models. So as soon as you come into the development, I mean, they're models that are pretty much kind of separated from the rest of the development, but also can be included.
Those of you who cannot see, you are free to get up, walk around, take a look. And I would ask, gentlemen, that you speak up and use a microphone whenever there is one nearby. Go ahead.
It's Frank Key. Just to continue that answer, you would phase from the rec center back to the northwest through the site. What size the phases are, we're not quite sure at this point. I mean, today sales move at a pace of one per month or two per month. I think the best-selling projects around are going at maybe three or three and a half per month. So it's sort of hard to determine the phasing at this point and how it will be built. Now, in terms of engineering, you would engineer probably half or the whole of the of this portion of the project, simply because the pump station is here, as was pointed out. So you've got to get the infrastructure to work. So you probably engineer this section, and then later maybe half of this section and half of this. Or you could engineer all of this and then all of that. It depends on how you want to pay for it, how sales are going, and the rest. In terms of construction, you would simply move, phase your way back this way, and you would have to build enough of the infrastructure to get to the pump station so that the sewer and water and so forth worked. That's essentially how you would do it.
Would the amenities be are they on a timeline? The front section as well as the back section?
Well, the parks, of course, get built as the streets are installed. The amenities up here, they'll probably come in a later phase, second phase or third phase. They won't go in initially because it costs so much to put those in and then carry those costs. In today's slow sales world, it just wouldn't work financially. So I'm certain these will be in a later phase. By later meaning, you know, maybe when this gets built out, this gets built in, and you move into the rest or something like that.
The proposed conditions say, though, after the 188th building permit.
That's in. Okay. And you mentioned the John Deere type look of what is the type of housing? I don't know what that means.
Shaped like a truck.
Yeah.
Again, that's a good question.
It's green with a yellow roof.
Yeah. That is a good question. There are two.
And it breaks down two or three times a year.
Yeah. There are two communities currently in the U.S. One is in North Carolina. The other is in Illinois. And what the John Deere concept is that each. The street signs are the traditional John Deere colors of green and yellow. But beyond that, the home sites that we toured in North Carolina, each homeowner, when they purchased their home, received John Deere farm equipment to maintain their lawns with. So there's the interaction that John Deere Signature is looking for, is the interaction that each homeowner gets a lawnmower, a weed eater, rakes, and other things that work for the homeowner. The other opportunities are at the facility we researched in North Carolina. You had a choice between four different types of landscaping, and those each were John Deere Signature landscaping for the community. And what that did was give an individual some individuality, and then you could enhance the throughout the community, the landscaping is going to look somewhat the same. So it would all be incorporated under the John Deere Community Signature theme.
Mr. Justice, I think you've just given Mr. Burton an idea for a Chevy signature.
He could put a Chevrolet in every driveway.
Nothing good.
Heaven knows he's got plenty of them right now.
I'm sorry, I don't think you're done. I interrupted you.
What type of housing? I mean, I heard the landscaping and the...
Well, these homes are envisioned to have a front porch instead of a back porch. And the reason to have the front porch is because we want the families that live in this community to interact with each other. So you'd have a front porch that fronts out to the front lawn. The sidewalks are right in your front yard. So these people, if they choose to go to the local church that's going to be in the area, they'll have an opportunity to ride a bicycle or walk to church in that area. So that's how the interaction will happen there.
They're stick built houses.
Oh yeah, very much so. Yeah, they're going to be built on site, garage that would load from the front because of the 7,500 square foot.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, nothing else.
Mr.
Mr. Lang.
Just one question. There's several of the documents in the booklet and correspondence make reference to streets dedicated to public use and be maintained by the state, and then other documents make reference to private streets to be built to county specs. Just to clarify for the record, which is it?
They're private streets for Sussex County, and one of the, since Sussex County is changing their standards, which should be, I think, goes in effect January 1st, then it just makes sense to go that route. So, but you know, based on what was previously the old ordinance, it only made, you know, they wanted to build a street that was a little bit more structurally sound than what was previously on records. But with that saying, we will go with Sussex County streets.
Is that to the new specs?
Yes.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Couts.
Just two quick questions. There's been a lot of reference to the Tidewater regional facility that is 2 miles away for water and sewer. What's the best guess on when it'll be available to this site? Anybody have any idea?
Well, having represented Tidewater in that, they are in the process of moving forward with engineering today. So, you know, to get those things approved and so forth, I think takes probably 18 months to get through the process. It'll take the same 18 months to get final subdivision plans and approvals for this project, too. So something like that.
2 miles is a long way, though. How long does it take?
Oh, you mean to get the infrastructure to the site?
Be able to.
But when they start building, you know, I can't give you a clear answer to that.
Any discussion on that? No commitments?
Well, no, there haven't been any commitments yet, but it would take, having built the sewer treatment and water treatment plants at Glen Riddle down in Ocean City, it took about 10 months to build those facilities, and then to get water line, for example, or sewer lines from here to there could take, you know, that could be done in the same period of time, so probably 10 months to a year would be my best answer.
And similar kind of question on the road improvements. Somebody read a list of the off-site road improvements that DLDOT's requiring. Explain to the folks in the audience how that's going to work, because some of those improvements you're going to need to do just to get access to the site, but others are going to be more long-term.
Yes. The agreements with, as far as the signal agreement and the agreement for the 13 and 24 intersection improvements, there again, that's at DLDOT's discretion. I mean, they, you know, it's an agreement that the developer will pay their portion of it or help fund it, but it's part of, you know, the 13 and 24 intersection project. I mean, that's a DLDOT project. So,
that'll be up to DLDOT's timing.
Yes, and it's actually in the process now. I mean, that's, you know, that'll be done probably before we're even done the design here. But, you know, as part of our TIS, I mean, we're obligated to pay a certain portion
of it,
as well as a signal agreement. I mean, a signal agreement, of course, will not be, they will not install a signal until such time that the traffic warrants that signal. But, you know, there again, the developer will have to be responsible for his shares. Now, the improvements out on 24 and also Hitch Pond are really driven by the number of units. You know, once we get to a particular point, you know, we'll have to put the entrance in per DLDOT standards. The improvements typically are, they'll give you a time period. And, you know, until we submit drawings, we don't know what that time period is. But typically it's anywhere from 75 to 100 lots. That those have to be done before they give any more building permits. But I don't have that information, and we typically do not get that information until we submit the documents and have our you know, pre-application, pre-design meeting with DLDOT. But, you know, to ensure some of the folks here to have probably some concerns about the traffic, I mean, those improvements will be done before half of this project's built out. And probably less than half. I mean, there again, I'm not on the specific because I don't know what the DLDOT number is, but you know, typically between 100 and, you know, 75 to 100, they want the improvements done. I mean, because, you know, traffic's going to be part of the project itself.
Thank you.